Well, great job, everybody that participated this morning. I appreciate it greatly. You guys, every Sunday, you guys do a great job. And it's appreciated. I'm trying to remember, if my recollection is correct, I think that every Sunday that Jerry has taken off, it's been beautiful and sunny, correct? I can't think of any Sunday that it was raining and Jerry wasn't here, but I don't know. I think I need to explain this title because we got a group here that's, well, you're part of you're Shoreliners, you're part of this church. And I have to say, since I've been part of this church, that we are very fortunate to have men that have come up here and taught sound biblical truth. And so you guys probably look at this title and go, well, of course there's more to the New Testament than salvation. So I need to kind of clarify where that came from. And it's a story about a person, somebody I know very close, and I might as well say it, it's about me. that will kind of help you understand why I came up with this and why I'm talking on this. Now again, this is kind of just a shallow look at the New Testament. Nothing like what Jerry's doing when he gets down deep into the books that he's been going through, which is fabulous. What I see and why this came about is this helped me kind of understand more what I'm going to, the three points I'm going to hit on as you trying to grow in your immaturity in your Christian life. But let me set the stage for why this title. I was 13 years old going to an EUB church in Grove. That's the Ebenezer United Brethren Church. Now, before I say, I grew up in a Christian family, Christian grandparents, both sides. I mean, I'm surrounded, fortunately, in my youth with, you know, Christian family. So at 13, I received Christ. It's funny what you remember certain things. I remember that it was a Tuesday night, didn't want to go because it was they had an evangelist in. And it was January, and it was snowing like crazy. It's funny the things you remember. I don't remember the exact date, though. But anyways, received Christ. Shortly after that, we left that church. There was changes going on, and my parents left that church, and we went to a growing church in Lima known as the Lima Baptist Temple. And for the next, probably till I was 21 when I moved out, I was involved in that church. Now, typical Baptist temple, Sunday schools, Sunday morning, Sunday church, Sunday evening, Wednesday night prayer. And you were expected to be to all those, which we did as youngsters, you know, parents said, go, we go. Baptist Temple was a evangelistic church, and every message I heard, didn't matter what in Scripture, where they went in the Bible, it always ended in salvation. Salvation, salvation, salvation. And again, like I said, that could be anywhere in Scripture, and it came back to that. And sat through that many times. Actually, I can remember a Sunday night, we were sitting there. Of course, now I remember school's the next morning, and who wanted to get up for Monday morning anyway? We're sitting there, didn't want to go to Sunday night service anyways, but we're there. They have a guest speaker in, and wrapping up the service, they went into singing I Surrender All. And I think they sang the song longer than the message actually was. And you know, he's up there. I know there's somebody out there. I know. Let's go one more time. I know the Holy Spirit is speaking to someone. So me and my brothers, you go up. No, you go up. No, I'll go up the next time. You go this time. Let's get this over with. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Boy, if my grandmother heard me say this, which she probably has now, boy, I'd be going to the other way. But anyways, all that time, that's all I heard. And here's a young Christian hearing this salvation, salvation, salvation. That's all I knew the New Testament to be. And there's a whole stretch in my life up to probably 10, maybe 15 years ago, 10 for sure, because that's when I got involved with Greg, Relational Concepts, and some of that information. And then, of course, Jerry, and now this church, that I have a totally different understanding of my Christian life. And there's growth, not that infant anymore. And that's kind of where I wanted to touch on these three points, not take much time. And like, again, it's kind of a skim over the New Testament, just so understand what this means and what the New Testament is truly about. Because I was caught up in that whole, you know, salvation, salvation, salvation. I was literally, I spent many years wondering, gosh, am I really saved? I need to go back to the cross. I need to go back to the cross. Am I saved? One of the other things that was kind of unique as I think back is I can remember people receiving Christ, you know, and basically what they did was, hallelujah, you're here. They wanted you to get baptized. But they also handed you the Bible and said, go tell the world about Christ. What? That's kind of like telling your baby in the hospital, okay, here's the keys. You take me and mom home. Drive us home. What am I going to tell them about Christ? Because I accepted him. I know there's something wrong, but I'm not being developed. So anyways, the New Testament. There's 27 books. Let's first just cover real quick. New Testament means, Testament is basically the same as a covenant, and this is a new covenant. Old Testament, the old covenant that God established, but fortunately for us, that God knew that as he planned this all out, that we needed something, and in comes his son, Jesus. The first four books of the Bible are the Gospels. Everybody knows about the Gospels. These talk and describe the life of Christ, of Jesus, and his ministry. From that, it expands into Acts, which then is a book that talks about the expansion of the church. But then there are 21 letters. And these letters are written to churches and individuals. In other words, believers in Christ. And then, of course, the book of Revelation, which talks about future. Now, the first point. The payment for all sin, past, present, and future, was done when Jesus was crucified. Period. Like I said, I spent years and years wondering, gosh, am I saved? Am I saved? I got to go back to the cross. I got to go back to the cross. Jesus went to the cross one time. And we can see that... Excuse me. In Hebrews 10 through 12, by this will, God's will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices. Kind of like the approach I had set in my mind, which can never take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. Once and for all. This is kind of contrary to some of the teachings that are out there, if you follow and look at, where, and you could see it in churches, kind of explained it myself with the temple, where they have you keep constantly going back going back to the cross. Now, I got to be careful here. We never want to forget the cross. We never want to abandon that thought or anything. I mean, even through the Old Testament, God instructed them to obey the Passover, many different spatial moments, and teach your kids these moments and stuff. Well, it's kind of like the Christ and the Last Supper and communion, same scenario. We remember the cross, but once you've accepted Christ, you don't have to keep going back to the cross. You do have to, as a sinner, you know, if you sin or something, repent, but you don't have to keep going back to, quote, the cross. That was done one time, payment for all sins. I like to equate it kind of like a race. Of course, this is, you know, we're more or less in the, you know, a race now in our lifetime and what we do with it. And this is basically the starting line. Receiving Christ is the starting line. And that kind of brings us into the second point. Through the acceptance of Jesus as your Savior, you are sanctified. Now, I struggled with sanctification and sanctified for quite a few years. Many years, I didn't even know anything about it. Heard the words, but never applied myself to it. Part of that's shame on me because I didn't dig into stuff. But sanctified means set apart. So the moment that you accepted Christ, you have been set apart. That's one of the 33 things that happens to you when you receive Christ as your Savior. Each one of you has to ask yourself, you know, about that. I have no idea if you have accepted Christ or not. I have a pretty good idea, but I don't know for sure. God knows that one. But this is one of the 33 things, and you are set apart through the Holy Spirit. You have been sanctified. That's done. The thing that happens at that time also is you have just got a starting, you just got your spot on the starting line in a Christian life. You're on the line, you're there. Actually, you are given the gift of heaven. You're in heaven. Now back when the temple days and going there, the whole concept was get saved, you're in heaven, you got it made. That was the concept. And you thought, well, you go to church, you go to that service, and you hear the same thing again, you hear it again. It's like, there's got to be more to it than this. Something just doesn't feel right. I just feel rotten all the time. That's not the way to be. That's not what this Christian life is supposed to be. So that's a key point to remember, and we know this through John 3:7 states, and Paula read this earlier, you must be born again. At salvation, you are an infant in Christ. But it's just like that birth, you've been sanctified, you're set apart, you're in Christ. But an infant. And this is also stated by Paul, it's backed up by Paul. In 1 Corinthians 3:2, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not able. And by the author of Hebrews, now probably before I go on to that, Jerry has been talking in 1 Corinthians. Again, this is to believers. And he's telling them, you're not ready. I got to give you milk because you're infants. You're not growing. So we know that these people are still, they're set apart, they're saved, but they're struggling, they're having problems. The author of Hebrews 5:12-13 also talks about the infancy of us at our salvation. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. Boy, that's getting right down to the basics again. And that's kind of where we're at with this. Again, Hebrews, he's talking to believers and how they're not progressing, they're not growing, they're stagnant, they're not getting fed solidly. And part of that, what is being fed and what can you take in? It's a two-way street on this. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. So here we are. We know that at the acceptance of Christ, we're set apart, but we're an infant. But you have that ticket, you have that spot on that line. Now, it's what will you do with that? Every race has a finish line, and there's always a distance between the beginning and the end, and this is all about what can we accomplish in the middle. In my life for so many years, I was at that starting line and didn't even know I was, and didn't know what to do. But sanctified, set apart, that's a done deal. The Holy Spirit, God, takes care of that for you once you accept. It's still an action by us to accept. The last point, it's a little different. There is more to just being set apart, sanctified. There is sanctification, which occur by you after the start of the race. Sanctification is a progressive holiness. This you achieve with the assistance of the Holy Spirit and supporting fellow believers, in essence, discipling. This is what the call is. That's what Christ, when he ascended into heaven, said, go out and make disciples. So, hence, a whole lot more about the life as a Christian in the New Testament than salvation. Salvation is a start, but those 21 letters of the 27 letters are to believers. And that's our backbone of knowing how to grow and attain that life that Christ and God wants us to have. Now, sanctification, there's a lot of discussion out there amongst different groups about sanctification. I like what 1 Thessalonians 4:3-7 has to say. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, each individual. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion, like the Gentiles who do not know God. And that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. He wants us to grow. We have that choice. We can stay that flatline Christian, as I call it, no growth, or we can choose. And what I have found in the last 10, 15 years is God has put everything in place that we need for this Christian life. It's all right here in his word. He works that through the Holy Spirit. But again, a lot of that responsibility, decision comes to me. Just like if I want to accept Christ or not. Holy Spirit could convict me, but I may decide, no, I'm not going to accept Christ. Holy Spirit convicts me, I accept Christ. We have a choice in this. Thank God for that. Again, remember, sanctification is a progressive holiness. God is holy. We are not. can we achieve pure holiness? No. Because we have the, what I call enemy within. We have the sin nature. But we can fight it. And I like what Paul says. And this is how I equate it to a race too. If you look at 2 Timothy 4, 7 through 8, I have fought the good fight. This is Paul talking. I have finished the course. Talk about a fascinating life, a Christian life, when we talk about Paul. There's so much you can go into in that. But, you know, as you remember, Paul was a persecutor of the church, watching like Stephen and those get stoned. And suddenly his boldness there, God took. He accepted Christ and his teachings, and he took that same boldness and turned it in favor of, discipler, as a builder of churches and so on. Anyways, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course, hence the race. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to who have loved his appearing. So he's already in heaven, or he's already got his ticket to heaven, his spot. But there is that many more rewards in the life and the race that he runs that one can achieve. Colossians 3, 23 and 24, kind of wrap up. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Jesus whom you serve. And that is so important in the fact that, remember, work heartily as for the Lord rather than for man and your own satisfaction. So that's a quick, brief look. These points, understanding that, hey, I'm saved. It's a one-time, done deal. I can move on from that. I can start looking and reading and understanding. The Holy Spirit reveals more to me in the sense of how to interpret and see and what to investigate and look at. With that understanding, the understanding that I'm set apart. And then the whole process of sanctification is a process. And it's up to me to function in that. That's an oversight that you can apply then to book-to-book teachings that, like Jerry is doing, that help us go much, much deeper and better understanding to individual issues or situations that we encounter. Because this life, I can remember at the temple, they were always saying, you've got Christ, come to Christ, all will be well. Well, why am I struggling? Why am I having this problem? Why am I having that problem? The whole concept, they're probably not all that wrong, because if you have Christ, all is well, because if man takes you out, you die, you've got heaven. But there's so much more. And to stop there is I don't want to say not correct. It's not God-honoring. We're leaving people out there that are struggling to understand, and a lot of them then will bail or turn to something else. What we call short-term Christians, I guess you could say. Unfortunately, I've encountered too many of them. It's kind of sad, really. But thoughts, I think I already covered those. Probably the better thought going into this is what I just said about taking this application, knowing that God has supplied us with everything we need. We're in the kingdom now. This is how to live in the kingdom. And get involved in the books and studying them. And allow the Holy Spirit to work in you and let you grow. It's important. Don't get caught up in, like I just explained myself, wondering and stagnating myself because I'm not even sure I'm at the race line. I'm at the race line. I'm in the race now. Feels good. I'm getting good exercise. So, anyways, that is a quick flyover of the New Testament, the New Covenant. And thank God for all that he's done for us and what he's given us. Let me close in prayer. Dear Lord, I just as we just stated and talked about, I thank you so much for all you do. The fact that you have actually set us up to go through this life. You have taken care of everything. It's here before us. And you've got the Holy Spirit in place to work with us. You've given us your word that we can dig into. You've brought up some great men that represent and present your word that we can, and each one of us should, take time to evaluate and justify it in our own mind by our own studies and looks, and rely on you, the Holy Spirit, to reveal those truths to us. It's just so thankful for what you did, that you saw way back at the beginning that Christ, that Jesus would come and that he paid the price for us, a one-time pay price for all the sins, and that's the beginning. And there's so much more there that we can need to dig into and look at that'll affect each of our lives in any manner that we're, or position that we're living in it. We just thank you and praise you for all that, Lord, and bring that to you in Christ's name. Amen. Have a great rest of your weekend.